Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Becky. I am the host of Becky Book Club. This evening, I will start off the show by apologizing. Blog Talk Radio's time is not Fort Myers and the rest of the world's time. My clock says 6 minutes after, but unfortunately, Blog Talk just decided it was 11 o'clock. So without further ado, we will get right into the show. Now, tonight we will be touching on, or I should say revisiting, a subject that was very popular by the bulk of my listening audience, and that is Get Naked and Find the Love of Your Life. And before I even go into this segment of Get Naked and Find the Love of Your Life, I will ask the question, who doesn't want to find the love of their life? Awesome song. But at any rate, for tonight's subject and topic, we will be discussing how to love what you can't change. How to love what you can't change. And that is part of this great book, Get Naked and Find the Love of Your Life. Some things can't be changed, so change how you see them. If you're shorter than the woman you are involved with, and you want to be taller, you can wear big shoes to give yourself a boost. But you'll still be short in the morning unless you wear your shoes to bed. On the other hand, some things can be changed, but changing them would mean compromising your values. For example, if you are a virgin, saving yourself for marriage, sleeping with someone because you're afraid of losing that person would be compromising your values. And trust me, you won't feel better about it in the morning or down the line. And if you decide to opt out value for supposedly making sure you don't lose someone, you just might lose out on yourself. You should be comfortable enough in your "I'm going to be a virgin until marriage" zone to not get into bed with someone out of fear. Trust me, getting into bed with someone out of fear is not a good idea. When you can't change or won't change what's hanging out of your thong, you have a choice. You can either be miserable and blame it on everything that goes wrong in your life, or you can accept it and turn it into an asset or learn to live with it. There are three ways to love what you can't change. One is turn it into an asset. For example, a bigger butt can turn into more to love. Protruding ears can become things to hold on to. Your virginity can turn into the ultimate gift. Being bipolar can mean being fun half of the time. Second of all, get help. It's unrealistic to think that you can flip a switch and embrace the most uncomfortable, traumatic, and difficult part of your life after reading one page. Someone battling depression can't just get happy or get over it. An addiction can always just be laid aside. A drunk can't just suddenly become sober. A rape survivor, can't just get over it. That's why there are experts. This book can help you face the truth, while other books and professionals will enable you to manage these issues and not let them get in your way. The things causing you pain, shame, making you lie, cover up, and pretend to be something you're not are the things hanging out of your thong that need to be addressed, explored, and managed. And thirdly, accept that embracing the things hanging out of your thong, or I should say the things hanging out of your thong, will help you attract the right people. And I need to correct that thing into things, because if I don't do that, then we will get the wrong idea. The more you train physically, emotionally, and spiritually, the less these things will matter. The more accepting you can be of what you don't love, the sooner you can find others who will do the same. We all have a path. Loving what you can't change will help you find the love of your life and live an authentic life you love living. Now, to hear that should give you hope. This material goes on to tell you how to love what you can't change, acknowledging what is hanging out of your thong. I don't know how many of you remember when I did Get Naked and Find the Love of Your Life, and I described this young woman and man on the front of this that were showing a lot of skin. They were covered up under this big cover. I don't remember if any of you remember this book, but this is the same book that I'm touching base on. And I don't know how many of you remember it, but I got a lot of reviews, a lot of kickback, a lot of interaction in regard to this book. A lot of people seem to have gotten a lot from that review. And hopefully we will have the same effect this time. So we are encouraging you to get naked and find the love of your life to deal with, to accept, to embrace, to change what you can of what is hanging out of your thong. And I'm going to take a pause for the cause here and say that I am not getting from reading this book that the author means to literally strip yourself naked, but I'm taking it to mean figuratively to strip yourself of hang-ups, of cover-up, of innuendo, of insult, of whatever is holding you up, and put on the least bit of covering as you deal with what is hanging out. Not necessarily physique or your other stuff, but more like your mindset or your split personality or your weird sense of behavior in regard to maybe being referred to as being bipolar. Previously, you were encouraged to not look at yourself as someone who's weird or strange or mental or whatever, but instead look at yourself as someone who is fun to be with half of the time. I hope you're getting it here. So acknowledge what's hanging out of your thong. Embrace what you can't change. And if you can't embrace it, seek professional help. He's encouraging you to go to a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a therapist or a nutritionist or a trainer and such, and find people who have been there and done that, and draw inspiration from their tips and their stories. Be kind to yourself, and once you begin to embrace what's in your thong, you will be perfectly attractive. I don't know how many of you remembered some of the letters that were in the book, but I found some that I thought were pretty interesting, and I would love to hear your feedback. I was diagnosed with herpes 3 months ago. I got it from my cheating ex. I can't help but feel like no one will want me. I feel like I'm lying and deceiving people if I don't tell them about my situation before they date me. It's not fair to trick someone. How can I let someone ever get close to me? Will anyone ever want me? Scared from an ex. What a selfish asshole. Herpes won't keep you from finding love. Obsessing about it will. Millions of people have herpes and happy lives. Once you get past the shock and anger, you'll find a forgiving world that can love you. You're not doomed. You just have to talk about sex before having it. People who are looking for a meaningless hookup might think twice, but people who are looking for something with meaning will not. So now you find out if people want to sleep with you or date you. If you're looking for meaningless sex, no such thing, however, you can still find it with millions of people who have herpes. 1 in 5 adults have herpes. Oh, my God. Are people who don't care if they get it, but those people might give you something else. You're not doomed. You're just forced to talk about sex and what it means. Sex fact number 121. Men who have 2 to 4 sexual partners in their lifetime have a 3% chance of contracting a sexually transmitted infection. Women have a 5% chance, and men with over 20 partners have a 28% risk of contracting a sexually transmitted infection. Women have a 35% chance. You're almost ready for getting naked to experience the beginning. Once you accept the universal rejection truth of dating and relationship, train in your thong. Remember, it's important to strip off all of your baggage and really get down to the nitty-gritty of who you are, because you've got to learn to face all of those possibilities of rejection and be okay with that. And it's funny because I was telling my little sidekick, my grandbaby girl, that this morning, she's all of 4 years old, going on 55, and she's already having problems with the little divas in school who are picking on her about her hair or one thing and the other. And I was telling her that just this morning, not to get naked now. Don't get it twisted. I was telling her to really embrace and enjoy who she is. She's a beautiful little person. She has an awesome spirit. She's a lovely soul. And she needs to be comfortable with that. And she needs to not let anyone tell her who she is and what she looks like and what she likes and what she's to wear and any of that foolishness. Because if she starts that so early, she's giving herself a lot of baggage that she really doesn't need. But here the author is saying that we need to concentrate on getting real, getting down to the nitty-gritty, and so forth and so on. So once you have done that, once you have started this process, be ready to take the risk needed to find the love of your life. How many of us in the audience want to find the love of our life? How many of us might have already found the love of our life? Did it go the way that we hoped? Would we like to continue with the love of our life? Would we prefer to find another love of our life? Get real with ourselves. Get naked and find the love of your life. Here's what changes, or I should say, here is what has changed since I initially started this. Before We were sharing feelings used to be, and sharing feelings used to be very dangerous. Before we started sharing information from this book, some of us found that sharing feelings was dangerous. We don't want to be controlled. We don't want to be hoodwinked. We don't want anyone bossing us around and all of this nonsense, you know what I mean? But now that we've listened to some of the information and get naked and find the love of your life, keeping feelings a secret is too dangerous. Sharing feelings used to be too dangerous, but now that we've heard some different things and different information about this whole process, we now might find that keeping feelings a secret might be too dangerous. Before we heard information from this book, rejection often made you feel defective. Now that you heard some of this information, no one can make you feel defective because you know you're not. And I'm hoping by now you know that you're not defective. It doesn't matter if you're bipolar or, you know, you got a split personality or any of this nonsense, you know what I mean? The purpose of this book and sharing information from this book is to let you know that just because you only are fun to be around half of the time doesn't mean you're a terrible person. You can still be fun that half of the time that you're good to be around, you know what I mean? This is all the man is saying, and I totally agree. If we get naked and we accept the best and the worst of ourselves and we learn to adapt that to a positive spin, it's possible to find the love of our life. Hooking up, before we started talking about this book, was faster and easier than dating. Now that we've been talking about this book, dating is just as fast as hooking up and far less of a headache. Whenever I approach women at a bar or in random places, I always imagine them talking about how they couldn't believe that guy approached them. For example, I talked to this girl, and she was so busy looking at her phone during the entire conversation that I couldn't help feel like I bored her. How can I stop thinking everyone is thinking the worst about me? Something to talk about. There's something to talk about. When she looked down at her phone, you could have asked her for her phone number so you could text her while you talked to her. Then you could have explained that you do your best work while texting and talking at the same time. This would either be funny or irritating. It's a risk worth taking. She then might have told you that she was waiting for a text from her doctor to get test results. Awkward. Or she might have been interested and asked for your number to text you back when you text her. Then you would have made out via a series of hugs and kisses on your cell phone. Want to stop worrying about what everyone else is thinking when you walk away? Make sure you are the very best version of you. Instead of thinking the worst, you'll think, who's next? You don't need to creep, plot, plan, drink, or puke. The getting naked experience is liberating. And that is the whole purpose of this discussion, is to liberate us and free us from some of the nonsense that we put ourselves through as we go through life. You know, because I won't admit this face to face, but I have to say that, you know, I've had a few experiences and a few encounters where people have showed me that, you know, I could have set myself up for this or that or the other, or I invited someone to do this or that or the other to me. And at the time that it was said to me, I quickly rejected it. I quickly rejected it because I said there is absolutely no way that I would ever give myself over to someone to be rejecting me or doing some thing to me that I'm not pleased with. But looking back and being naked and finding the love of my life, I have to say that there have been times when I have given place to the devil, for lack of a better way of saying it, and I got just what I expected or just what I prophesied to that experience. I got exactly what I said. I did that just a few months ago. I said, you know, I know I'm going to regret doing this, but I did it anyway, and I did regret it, but it is what it is. We just have to take the lemons of life, as I said so many times, and we have to make a decision to not be bitter, but to be better. And we have to take those lemons that we purchase sometimes with our own blood, sweat, and tears, and we have to make us a grand pitcher of lemonade and keep it moving. Not being bitter, but being the better for it. So you don't need to creep, plot, plan, drink, or puke. The getting naked experience is liberating. And I hope that as I do these sessions from getting naked and find the love of your life, that you will be liberated, that you will be delivered, that you will be set free, that you will become a victor and stop being a victim. You know, there was a time in life when I had pity parties continuously. I must confess that in my teens and my 20s, I was quite the pity partier, and I had these private parties, and they would go on for days, and they entailed crying, and they entailed sadness, and they entailed eating all of my comfort foods in excess. And thank God, you know, I was doing other things that it did not put excessive weight on me, but I tell you, I had some serious parties, and it went on for a season. Yeah, I had reasons to be doing some of that stuff, but not for that long. You know, when you start doing things for a long, long period of time, and it goes on for years and years and years and years, that serves absolutely no purpose whatsoever. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't make anything better. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't do a thing for anybody, including the one who's going through that. And my godmother called me one time, and she said to me, "Sister, are you having another party?" I couldn't even answer. And she said, "And you didn't invite anybody again, I see." And I still couldn't answer because I was in a very bad place. But when she finished talking to me that day, I don't know, something clicked. Something clicked. I don't even remember what it was. I don't even remember what she said. But something clicked. And I made a decision that day that I was going to stop having those 2-3-day pity parties and inviting no one and sitting up in here and being in darkness and carrying on and crying myself to my eyes were almost totally shut and all of that foolishness that I was doing. I just got a grip. I don't know what it was said to me, like I said, but it changed me forever. And, you know, I'm not saying that things don't happen. Like I said, 2 months ago, I had some stuff happen. But I've seen the time that I would have been in a deep depression. I would have been eating everything that wasn't jumping out of my way. I mean, I would have been doing some crazy stuff. But I thank goodness for that call from my godmother many years ago, and I don't do pity parties anymore. And so, we'll get naked and find the love of your life and the information that I'm sharing here for those of you, which I'm hoping is not the majority of you, not the majority of you, but For those of you who do those private tea parties, I'm hoping that you can take something from Get Naked and Find the Love of Your Life and use it for your betterment. You don't need to creep, plot, plan, drink, or puke. Once you embrace the universal rejection truth of dating and relationship, train in your thong and have options. You won't need to get caught up in the drama. You won't need to keep track of who texted whom, how long she waited between texts, how long you need to wait. You won't have to read into subtexts or exclamation points when you know there are options and aren't afraid to express yourself. These things don't matter. There isn't time or energy for it to matter. Talking to people you want to meet will no longer take a few shots of vodka, a few beers, or a few hits. That's a little too wasted. You won't have to get wasted to talk to people. You won't have to build your courage up in one thing and then another to meet people. You won't have to get wasted. You won't have to creep up on people and do all these unusual things. You won't keep feeling a secret because you're scared of getting rejected. You won't keep your feelings a secret. You will let people know. If you get rejected, it's not the end of the world. It really isn't. You know, a lot of companies that you have to do sales and that type of thing, they encourage you to pitch and pitch and pitch and pitch whatever product you are, you know, selling or offering. They encourage you to approach lots of people, because in that atmosphere, you're going to get some takers and you're going to get some that won't. You're going to get some bites, and it's just like fishing. You know what I mean? You don't just throw a line out there one time and catch a mass of fish. That only happened in the Bible. You know what I mean? You have to keep throwing it out there. And something might take your bait and get off the line, and something might take the bait and get off the line, and that might happen a time and a time and time. Or you might not even get a bite. You know what I mean? But eventually, if you keep casting those, whatever you're fishing with out there, you eventually, on most times, after many casts, you will catch something. And that's the way it is with sales, and that's the way it is with meeting people. You know, you have to go into the places where people hang out, and you have to talk to people. But as we come to the close of another episode of Becky Book Club and Get Naked and Find the Love of Your Life, I encourage you to get undressed before your mirror, put on your thong of life, and examine your imperfections, the things that you are not happy with in yourself, and you do the things that are needful to make changes for the positive. Well, you heard it here on Becky Book Club, and you can check me out nightly right here on the book club by dialing in 347-205-9535. Again, 347-205-9535. If you enjoyed the show, and thanks for listening. Have a great night.